We went over 2 months. February the 2nd was the actual two-month anniversary from the surgery. And there had been nothing. And Monday the 8th of February, I was heading out to the car to actually stop over to the church, pick up something, and realized that if you don't squat down, you're going to faint. You're going to pass right out. So I just squatted down, hung on to something there, and probably in 60, 90 seconds' time, the sensation went away. Came on over to the church, got the thing, went home, told my wife. What was that? I don't know. I don't know what that was. The next morning, which was the 9th, Tuesday the 9th of February, I was at the house and walking around, and all of a sudden I was in the dining room area and that same sensation was coming, and you better sit down or you're just going to have the quick and easy way of getting down. So I sat down in a chair and I called her and I said, it's happening again. Whatever happened yesterday is hitting again. Well, that was the last time it had happened. And tomorrow would be 2 weeks. We didn't even tell our kids about it. What was it? What kind of a fluke was it? Don't know. And I told my wife in those 2 weeks that passed by, there were a few times that I kind of wondered, is something on its way? Never amounted to anything, so whatever. This morning, as I was in that last point of my message, I realized that something's knocking at the door again here, and maybe if I ignore it, it will go away. You ever try stuff like that? I tried. I tried to ignore it, and finally I realized that it's coming like gangbusters. You better get a grip here and hang on, or Jonathan, or maybe it was John, one of these two guys at that board meeting, he said, well, we just thought that was a part of the plan. I mean, you were kind of at that part in the message where maybe the Spirit is speaking to your heart. Maybe you want that for effect. That wasn't my orchestrated effect. Now, I did commit the message to the Lord in prayer, and I turned it over to Him. But ultimately, people realized this isn't just for effect, as you watched my color wash out. And I appreciate some guys that move forward to help. Unlike what happened 2 weeks ago on Monday and Tuesday, when it happened then, I was just whipped as far as energy for the rest of the day. That didn't happen today. Maybe it was because I got my Sunday afternoon nap. I think nap, it's the cure all for everything on Sunday afternoons. Amen, Kayla? There you go. I'm always teasing her because she's a napper, I hear, on Sunday afternoon. So anyway, what was it? I don't know. Is this that same old stuff? This was not what I've dealt with for over 28 years. That I still have. Times where I feel like if I'm out in the middle of the room and I'm standing here somewhere, you better watch out or you might just keel over. That is not what that is. Probably the closest I could describe it are what we called hits, that some strange feelings about 5 years ago. Every once in a while, and sometimes I would have these hits as many times as 12 or 13 a day. They'd come like every 30 minutes or so. And the end of March, it's going to be 3 years since I've had any of those strange hits after 2 years of they just show up when they want to. Talked to the doctor about it. He's got me on medication, trying. I mean, it was It appears as mysteriously as it disappears. So, whatever. I tell my wife, shoot me in the head and she'll just be better off and she won't have to worry about it, think about it anymore. But that's all I can tell you. How do I feel now? I feel great. Let's go for it. Let's go fishing, Benny, right? All right. What's that? Keep praying. We don't know what it was. What's that? I gave up ice fishing long ago. You know, I used to be young and foolish and did that. I got old and wiser. I sold all my ice fishing stuff. I stand indoors where it's warm and I look at that and I say, you are crazy. You're crazy out there. No thanks. Anyway, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the chance to be here today. We thank you for this place. We thank you for the people. We thank you for your faithfulness even to be standing in the pulpit. And Lord, I appreciate even the offer of one to fill the pulpit this evening if need be. And Lord, we thank you for your grace, your goodness, your enablement. Be glorified tonight through this message. Encourage us, Lord. Encourage us in this area of standing fast in the midst of trials. I guess we might call that a trial that Jerry and I face, whatever this mysterious health issues are. We pray, Lord, that you would work your purposes, strengthen us in our faith in you tonight. We thank you in your name. Amen. Troubles, everybody has them, Joel. That's your title. Troubles, everybody has them. Who, and because of that, you know, you're not the only one that has troubles. And you know, back in scriptural times, those people had troubles too. Do you know that David had troubles? I am convinced of it. Otherwise, why would he write what he wrote in Psalm 55, 6, 7, and 8? I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. How many of you ever felt like, don't you just wish you could be a bird and fly away from some of the trials? That's scriptural. There's David. Oh, that I had wings like a dove that I could just get away from this. Why do we have trials? Where do they come from? How can I handle them? How come I have so many? What am I doing wrong? Well, I hope we can get some helpful truth from God's Word this evening. First of all, I want to just suggest in Psalm 34:19, there is no denial that there are troubles. Maybe some would listen and think, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, sounds like you're complaining about issues of life. You know, we ought not to be complaining. We ought to be thankful for what God gives us. Why are you talking about troubles and trials? Because we have them. Psalm 34:19 says this, many are the afflictions of the righteous, period. Afflictions, that's trials. That's hardships, difficult times. And the psalmist says, we've got a lot of them. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Praise the Lord. The trials come, but the rest of the verse is, you can count on the Lord to help you, to assist you when those afflictions those trials come. Well, let's see if we can find and put some answers to some questions. How come there are trials? Can you give some reasons, Pastor, why we would have these trials? Well, let's see if we can answer that with some scriptural answers, okay? That'd be the best, rather than, how about me asking you, why do you think we have trials? Why do you think, as I look around the room? Tell me what you think would be the reason. Why don't we see what God has recorded for us? That'd be the better way to do it, wouldn't it? Let's turn, first of all, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to begin at verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. There's a lot of things here in this. But I want us to look at especially verses 7, 8, and 9. It says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side. See any trials there in Paul's testimony? We are what? We're troubled on every side. Paul, and we often say, didn't matter which way I turned, there were things in my face. I couldn't get away from it. You're not unique, neither am I. And Paul is saying we were troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. What's that mean? You know what Paul is saying here? We've got questions. You know, if you're perplexed about something, you're wondering some answers, aren't you? Isn't that what perplexed usually means to us? Here, even the Apostle Paul himself says we're perplexed. We can't explain everything that's happening to us. But he says, I'll tell you this, we're not throwing in the towel in despair. Sadly, too many of God's own, God brings trials their way, and that's the way they choose to handle it. They just throw in the towel. I quit. I'm done with this. But Paul says no. He says we're persecuted. That's the physical hurts, isn't it? The emotional hurts when people say things, ridicule, mock the ministry that the Apostle Paul was doing, as well as laying those stripes on his body, causing injury. Persecuted. But he said, we're not forsaken. What does he mean, not forsaken? Who didn't forsake him? God. And you and I need to feed our minds with truth. When we are going through these difficulties and we think, where is God when I need him? Where is God in the midst of my troubles? God's there. He might not be showing his face, but he is there. We are never alone. We are never separated from God and his love as a child of his. And Paul said, yeah, we were persecuted a lot, but you know, God never forsook us. He said, we're cast down. They try to just keep beating us down, not destroyed. And so, he goes on, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, so on. In these verses 7, 8, and 9 especially, verse 7, he started out by saying, we have this treasure, the treasure of the ministry for the Lord. The ministry for the Lord. We have that in earthen vessels. Vessels of clay. We're made from what? The dust of the earth. God could have made us out of anything. But He chose to make us out of the dirt of the ground, the dust of the ground. And we're from dirt and dust, and if it's not the Lord's will to come when we're still alive and we're laid in the ground, we're going to return back to what? To the dust of the ground. Well, that doesn't sound very glorious. There's a reason for that. He says here in verse 7, we have this ministry in bodies of clay that are subject to these weird spells like Pastor had this morning in front of us. So that what in verse 7? So who gets the glory? God does. So that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You see, if God gave us bodies that never wore out, never had any limitations, never any problems, you know, we could learn how to do things and we could function pretty good probably. But God has clothed us. He has put these bodies of clay that are subject to age, sickness, wearing out, all kinds of aches and pains. And He still expects us to fulfill ministry for Him. The reason is that He empowers these old bodies of clay so that we can give Him all the glory and not us. You recall, if you remember, in the midst of all of the distraction that took place this morning, what was King Uzziah's problem? It was pride. When he strengthened himself and when he became strong, he what? He started thinking that I don't need anyone. Look at all that I have accomplished. Did you think of anybody else this morning that had that same problem? He was a king, only not of God's people. He had grass to chew on for quite a few years. You know, it was the same identical thing that happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. And he was even warned, this has happened to you. And about a year later, after Daniel interpreted that dream, it says that old Neb was walking one day through the palace and he got to looking around and he said, look at what I have done. And instantly he was driven out and he had to live like an animal eating grass, the grass of the field, for 7 years. Pride. Why does God send these trials to us? Why does He allow these things that these old bodies with their limitations sometimes have struggles to deal with so that the excellency of the power will be of God and not of us? There's reason number one why we have trials. So that we can glorify our Lord through our limitations and our weaknesses. For when we are weak, then we are what through Christ? Strong. There you go. He brings these weaknesses so that He can show His strength in our behalf. Reason number two. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 3 through 10. See if you can figure this one out without me telling you. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 3. And we'll read through verse 10. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds about what you're going through. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. We think our trials are tough and hard to deal with. Have we ever sweat drops of blood resisting sin and fulfilling the ministry that God has given to us? None of us ever. The Lord did. In that garden, he sweat great drops of blood. In the battle, in doing the will of the Lord. You've forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, or corrects, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, correction, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards, or an illegitimate child, and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they, verily, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Do you see in these verses our second reason why sometimes we have trials? Anybody? To what? To chasten us or to correct us when we are walking down the wrong road as a child of his. We are involved in some sin which is dishonoring him. We are headed in a direction that not only displeases him, but it's going to be dangerous for us. And because God loves us, he chastens us. Now, how many of you think that chastening is fun? I got a plenty of it when I was growing up, and there was never one time I thought, honestly, there was never one time I thanked my mom or my dad for whipping the daylights out of me. Bald, because it hurt. But I never turned around and thanked them for that expression of their love. You know, I realized later on why they did it, because they loved me. And they saw something in my life that was not right. I had gone against their instructions. They did it for my good. Sometimes the trials that God brings our way are not necessarily like we saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, just so that God can get the glory through this old body of clay. Sometimes they are designed to correct sin in our lives. And so there's a second reason. Why these trials? Perhaps in love, our Heavenly Father is doing this to turn us back and away from sin and back to Him. Sometimes we find ourselves, thirdly, here in the midst of difficulties and trials, and we don't know why they've come. We don't know why they've come. You say, well, give us some verses on that. Job chapter 23, verse 10, familiar verse, familiar testimony of Job from his lips. Did Job know why he was going through what he was going through? No, he didn't. We know why, don't we? Because we have the full story. We know that it was a contest between Satan was challenging God and his goodness, and he used Job as a pawn. to try to prove God wrong. And God just simply said, go for it. Just don't touch him. You can do whatever you want. Just don't touch him. And so we know that initially Job was untouched, wasn't he? He lost all of his children. Unexplained weather tragedies, natural calamities. In one day's time, all of his children, all of his livestock, everything gone. Satan came back and he said, well, I know why he's still not cursing you, because he's not hurting enough yet. Let me put the pain in his body. Let me bring some physical pain, and you'll see he's not the trophy you think he is, God. And God said, okay, Job, you can do whatever you want to my servant Job, except take his life. You do not have the power over life and death. And so Satan went back, and what did he do? He afflicted Job with what? Boils from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. I've told you, I think before, how many of you have ever had boils? Does anybody ever get boils anymore in the 21st century? Or is that something that went out at the turn of the century? I only had one, but one was enough to last me three lifetimes. It was on the calf of one of my legs. I never had anything like that in my life. And one was enough for me. Think of them. And it says that he just took broken pottery and he scraped the pus out of them as from on his whole body. God didn't say, Job, here's why these things are happening to you. Now you trust me. I love you. And you've lost all of your children, you've lost all of your livestock, you've lost all of your servants, and now you've lost your health. Here's why, Job. But what did Job say? What a rotten God I serve, right? Job 23:10 says, well, let's go back to verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. I can't find God in all of my troubles, Job says. But, verse 10, he knoweth the way that I take. My God knows what's happening to me. When he hath tried me, there's your trial. When he hath tried me, when he has tested me, when he's done, I know that I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. You say he sounds kind of proud. No, he's just saying, I know there's no unconfessed sin in my life that has brought this about. I have been faithful to the Lord. I have kept his word, and yet this has come. I've looked in every direction, trying to get an answer. I've trying to tell me, Father, tell me, God, why is this? He said, I can't get my hands on him. I can't talk to him. But I do know that when he's all done with me, I'm going to come out better for it. What an attitude. Even and especially in those times when we don't know why the afflictions. May God strengthen our trust in those times. And may, like Job, we be able to say, I know when it's all done, I'm going to be better for it. In Psalm 17, verse 3, the psalmist tells us this. It says, Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. David was also expressing, God, you see me, you know there's no unconfessed sin in my life. I know you look. I know you've tested me. I know you've brought some trials, but it's not my fault. And you know that, God. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 107. Psalm 107, and let's turn our eyes to verse 25. In this verse, I would like us to begin storms of life. Now, in this psalm, the psalmist is likening it to sailors that are out on the sea. But I want us to think about just those storms that come our way. For what is true on the sea is true in our lives. What do you mean? He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. You know, there's no storm that can blow upon your life that does not first get the approval of the Lord. And when God wants to bring one, He can and He will. Just like these sailors out on a boat, out on a ship, out on the water. When God commands, He causes the wind to start blowing. He lifts the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro. They stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. And He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then they are glad because they're quiet, so He bringeth them unto their desired haven. Isn't that a beautiful picture of God in complete control of the storms of life that we face? Taken from the illustration of a sailor out on the sea or out on the ocean, and how that they think the storm is going to overwhelm them. They turn over to the Lord, and the Lord brings calm, and the Lord brings them to that safe haven. Sometimes God, it seems, brings those things our way to show us that He can be trusted. Psalm 50. Psalm 50, verse 15, tells us this. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Where do you turn when the trials come? Do you throw in the towel? Our topic is to stand fast. Troubles, everybody has them. To whom do you cry out in the midst of them? Do you get on your phone and call your friend? Text your buddies, or do you call upon the Lord in the day? That's the invitation. He wants us to trust Him. And He says, I'll deliver, and you'll glorify me. Psalm 31, verse 24, the psalmist says, Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, ye that hope in the Lord. In James chapter 1, we find that James wrote about trials. He uses the word temptation. That's another translation of the word trials. Notice, if you would, verse 12 of chapter 1. Blessed is the man that endureth temptations, trials, endures them. That means you go through them. There you go. You get physical and you bump the old microphone up here, don't you? You go through the, you don't say, I've had it. If this is the thanks I get, Lord, for trying to be faithful in my service to you and as a child of yours, no, blessed is the one that endureth the temptation. For when he is tried, it's not going to be forever. These trials are, they have endings on them. When he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that trust him. Wouldn't it be better, as we bring this to a close, but wouldn't it be better if we just had fewer trials? Don't you think that's the best thing? Really, Pastor? It'd be more comfortable, wouldn't it? Someone wrote, on the basis of David, a man after God's own heart, a little article entitled, and I close with this, After His Own Heart. Listen and answer that question I asked a moment ago. Wouldn't it be better if we didn't have so many trials? Seems like the Lord's working overtime on my life. When your faith endures many conflicts and your spirit sinks low, do not condemn yourself. It was David in haste who said, I am cut off from before your eyes in Psalm 31, 22. Yet there is David now in the blessed heavenly choir, for even here on earth, according to 1 Samuel 13, 14, he was a man after God's own heart. There is a reason for your season of heaviness. Great soldiers are not made without war. Skillful sailors are not trained on the shore. It appears that if you are to become a great believer, you will be greatly tested. If you are to be a great helper to others, you must pass through their trials. If you are to be instructed in the things of the kingdom, you must learn from experience. The uncut diamond has little brilliance. The unthreshed corn feeds no one, and the untried believer is of little use or beauty. There are great benefits to come from your trials and depression. Many people have a comparatively smooth path through life, but their position is not the equal of the tested believer. Let me read that sentence again. Many people have a comparatively smooth path through life, but their position is not the equal of the tested believer. The one who is much plowed and often harrowed will thank God if the result is a larger harvest to the praise and glory of God by Jesus Christ. If your face is now covered with sorrow, the time will come when you will bless God for that sorrow. The day will come when you will see great gain from your losses. your crosses, your troubles, and your afflictions. From all your afflictions, His glory shall spring, and the deeper your sorrows, the louder you'll sing. Let's stand and close in prayer. Thank you, Father, for this truth tonight. Thank you, Father, for counsel in your word, for us to keep in mind as we face difficulties that come our way. We've looked at just a few suggested reasons and answers. We could find many, many more. But the truth is, Lord, each reason that we have found, you have proven yourself a loving and a faithful God that we can trust. Help each of us to stand fast in the trials that come. May we search our hearts. May we wait upon you. May we look to you for the reason, and as you reveal, may we faithfully and obediently walk in your ways so that you might make us better vessels, though we are nothing but vessels of clay. Dismiss us with your blessing. In your name I pray, amen. And you are dismissed.